Good morning, medics. This is Charles McFall with 1AMF, sitting with Tom, a faithful guardian. How you doing, Tom?
Doing great.
So you've been busy. How busy have you been?
You know, the demand in education, it's been insane. I believe, according to my program director, she'll tell you, I think we're running about 32 classes right now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, over about 19 satellites, 7 alternate locations, and starting to expand in some of the other states.
That is impressive. I know you were in Indiana.
Yeah,
that is awesome. And I've been trying to work out something with you. I know we came and met.
Yeah.
We moved offices since then, so I have to start the process over again.
That's no problem.
I planned on getting with some of your people this week and do that. But as far as, I know you go to a ton of conferences. You represent your school. I'm sure you're selling a product. But what do you personally get out of going to a conference?
Networking, obviously. You know, EMS is really a fragmented industry. You know, it's not only just fragmented nationally, but it's fragmented within the state. There are so many specialties. You know, you have your fire-based EMS, you have your hospital-based, private. And then, of course, you have all those other areas. And I think conferences like this allow us all to network, come together, share strengths, talk about problem solving that we're doing in each one of our agencies, and that helps us all to build a better, more cohesive industry.
I dig it. You know, that's what I go for, is you never know when you meet somebody what's going to end up happening in the future and how you might work together. And it's been a really cool thing. I met you at the leadership conference this spring, and that started us talking together, and it's been good. How often do you get to present versus just showing up as a vendor?
Well, normally what I try to do is I try to present at one conference and then skip the next one to give myself opportunity to get out, talk to everybody, meet all of our partners. You know, there's a lot of our partners all across the state that we really don't get to see every day because we're all so busy. So, you know, I like to speak in one conference and then maybe the next take it off just to socialize, walk around the network.
It is busy. It's like sometimes I do classes, sometimes I just sit here. I get you. It's a lot. What is something that GEMS said themselves, or let me rephrase, I'll get that one. You do a lot of different conferences. What's one of your favorite things out of any conference that you've been at that you like to see?
With GEMS, I'll tell you, the EMS leadership program, the year-long leadership program that I do, if you are in this industry and you're a leader or becoming a leader, it is an amazing program. The class is taught. There's 1 week session every quarter spread out through the year. It's all across the state, so there'll be the first quarter class will be up north, or the next quarter class will be central Georgia. And they move it around to make it accessible for everybody. The Georgia Trauma Commission covers all of it, all the costs.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome opportunity to get in and learn all the different aspects of EMS leadership. Because you take me, for instance, with education, you know, a lot of what I went to and went through doesn't directly apply to education, but what it does allow me to do is better understand agencies that I work with.
I got you. So what is something that GEMSA could improve, something that might be missing from what they do?
I think the big push, every agency, every conference, GEMSA, the state office, everybody should be focusing on right now, is changing the culture of our industry in the streets with our active practitioners. I think education-wise, you take us and other schools that are really proactive with their education, we've changed the culture to bring in the students we need. And industries are changing the culture of hiring and recruitment.
Okay.
But I don't think we changed the culture on the street. Because if we track people and put them through this educational track, then they get hired and come in, and they're leaving in 2, 3, 4 years. It's because we have a work culture we need to change there. And that's what I think would be a really great focus for all educators, all business leaders, all chiefs, directors, everybody.
That almost feels like that'd be a very controversial presentation to come into. I mean, there's a good gamut. We saw in the last session that there were some that's over 25 years in the business and some that's under 3. Nobody really wanted to stand up. For some reason, they're embarrassed. But I'm sure there's more than that stood up. But the new to the industry don't necessarily come to these conferences. So it is the old guard. And we've done this way for so long. And I think that'd be a controversial presentation to say everything you've done. It feels, maybe this is not, these are my words. I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. These are my words. But kind of take, we've done it this way so long, kind of throw it away and start from scratch to see what the next generation needs. I think there's going to be a lot of resistance to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the two things we hate most is change and doing things the same way we've always done them. And that's a problem, and that's a problem we've got to change the work culture, because if you stop and look at it from a business point of view, employees are internal customers to organizations.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
And how do you attract customers? You offer what the customer wants. Myself, I've been in industry 33, going on 34 years, but I understand that the 20-year-old coming into our industry today is not doing it for the same reason I did it 33 years ago.
Right.
So as agencies, we have got to offer a workplace environment that appeals to this generation or to our new customer. And yeah, we need the old guard. We need the old guys like me and you, you know, being supportive and changing the atmosphere that nurtures these new people coming in our industry.
I heard somebody talk about the other day, something about advertising and how we present ourselves as an industry. And whatever they're saying made me think of the mid-90s when the Army, U.S. Army, was having a hard time recruiting. And they got this grunge metal band, Godsmack, and it's just excitement. You see the SEALs going in. And all of a sudden, their recruitment numbers started going up. And I know I've been in conferences like this where I stood up and said, hey, we've got to change how we recruit the young people. And I get yelled down or laughed at. Or it's like, well, put on a uniform. It's like, that's not... People aren't attracted to the uniform today. They are on their phones constantly. They want something different. So it is an interesting thing to attract. So I'm assuming you sell your classes different. You do your teaching a little bit different to attract the new.
Yeah. Well, we pull a lot of data. I mean, you know, peak enrollment last year, we had right at 1,000 students. And when you have that many students, it's easy to pull data. And, you know, when we first started, actually, we totally did the wrong marketing thing. You know, we were putting on these pictures of paramedics intubating ALS baby mannequins and doing IOs.
What we thought would be cool from the industry side.
Right. Right. But what we found was we had a horrible response in enrollment.
Okay.
However, when we went in and we surveyed all our students, we found out that ads like that were scary and intimidating because this 20-year-old coming off the street felt like, I can't work a kid.
Yeah,
I can't do all those advanced skills. Yeah. So the old guys loved the ad designs because it made sense to us. But once again, we're not attracting us. We got to attract our customer. What we found is the majority of these kids coming into our industry today, they want quick education. They want to be able to get in, get out quick. They want to be able to help or be part of a greater good. Okay. So you're absolutely right. If you take the marketing, the way we bring young people in this industry, if we start painting it with a totally different marketing brush where we show them, you're right, you know, the gung-ho uniform thing, it's not a thing today. But if you show how young people can come in our industry, help, and the other thing I think a lot of young people suffer from is they truly don't understand the career paths that are available to people. When we survey our students, I would say 70% of our students come to the class because they have friends or family in the industry. The other 30% had no idea what we do until they stumbled on an advertisement. So we've got to get better at communicating what we do, why we do what we do, and paint a better picture for these young people.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of feel like we haven't built an industry. We were born out of necessity, and we've all had the infighting, which is why we brought one EMS together. That's the easy sell. I was like, well, fire hated EMS, private hated, blah, 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 blah. But we're ultimately one. But we know there's a tier. It's a governmental thing. We know there's a tier for fire. There's a tier for police. Technically, there's a tier for EMS that nobody knows about when you talk about it. And that's, I think we need to kind of stop.
Yes.
And just build our industry purposefully now, but that's going to be a really hard sell.
It is hard. It's a lot of work. It's exactly what we need to do, though. We need to bring all of the broken parts that are spread out and then sometimes infighting, bring them together, create a unified group of... I mean, you know, you look at it nationally. We don't even have a national association for providers alone.
Right.
You know, you have NEMC for the national educators.
Yep.
You have COA that's over the schools. You have all these different national agencies that are over some aspect of EMS. But literally the guy in the street wearing a uniform running calls, there's no real national association for that.
Yeah.
You've got an NAMT, which is a great organization, but really they're more primarily education-based.
Yeah, I agree. I know we're going to get back to some sessions. You got stuff to go do. Why do you love EMS? Why have you been in this field for so long?
EMS, when I came out of the military, I didn't know where I was going to go. I was lost, confused, didn't want to go to 4 years of college, looking for something to do that had some kind of meaning in life. And I stumbled on this by accident. I opened a newspaper up and it said EMT class, two nights a week, $250. I'm like, hey, that gets me out of the house two nights. I had no clue what I was getting into. But when I walked in and sat down and listened to my mentor, her name was Pam McCain at the time. It's Pam Daniel now. She's been my motivation for my whole career because, you know, where else can you go out? And, you know, the last cardiac arrest save I had before I retired out of the field was an 11-year-old who was talking to its mom 2 hours later.
Wow.
You can't do that anywhere else. This industry is great.
Yeah, we help those who need the help, and everybody wants that cardiac arrest, but when you get grandma from the house to the hospital, she needed that help. It's all about helping people.
And that's the thing. Honestly, it doesn't matter if we're running emergencies or non-emergencies. These are people in need. And, you know, we hate to say it, but sooner or later, we're all going to be there, hopefully.
Yeah, everybody needs help sometimes.
Exactly.
You know. Well, I appreciate you. Thank
Absolutely,
you for
Charles.
Sitting
appreciate
down.
It, man.
And we had these mugs. I'm going to let you pick one of these. I got one in a box for you. We got one that mixes fire and EMS and one that's
I'll grab this one.
All right, I got you one out of the box if you want.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.